Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
And welcome to it, everybody, the Rugby League Rundown. My name is Anthony Maroon and, of course, the star of the show, the Prime Minister of Penrith, as I call him, the great MG. How are you, me old mate?
Anthony Maroon, great to see your face, brother. How's your week been, my man?
Mate, it's fantastic. There's lots happening in the rugby league world, which we love. And, well, I guess that's where we start. It's been hard to pick winners, MG.
Yes. Yes.
What did you like about the last round? Anything grab you?
What I am liking, I'm liking the Dragons this year. I'm liking the Sharks, who sit atop the ladder. I'm liking the Dolphins' tenacity, the way that they basically fielded a reserve grade team and pants deals up in Darwin. They've unveiled a superstar, I think, in young Trey Fuller and young Jack Box, was it Bostock?
Bostock, yeah.
Bostock, who I think is going to be a rep player in the future. But what I didn't like, I didn't like Kalen Ponga playing against the Bulldogs on Sunday. And obviously now that he's out for a long period of time with that Liz Frank injury, I didn't like Parramatta's capitulation against the Dolphins. First time I've seen a team in recent memory put the white flag up at half time, and it wasn't good for them. It's not good for their coach. It's not good for their players. And I'm not liking every Monday. And I like Graham Annesley as a bloke, so I'm offering a qualifier here when I say this. But I'm getting pretty sick of every Monday morning him coming to the lectern and basically saying that the team was dudded. Why have we got a bunker? Why have we got touch judges? Why have we got referees if we can just, in hindsight, say that this team was stuffed over again? This case in point was the Tigers. They were up 6-0 against the Panthers. There was a blatant ankle tap from Schneider on Ollum. Ollum would have got the ball and probably scored. Probably. Who knows? But it was definitely a sin bin.
Yeah.
The fact that it wasn't a sin bin, and then Annesley comes out on Monday and says that it should have been a sin bin, well, it's too late. I'm afraid it's too late for these coaches who are under the pump, and not, like more than ever. They don't like the solace in finding out Monday. We want jobs done then. That's why we put so much money into the bunker, who can look at that and go, you know what, mate? You've missed a blatant sin bin there. Even in retrospect, if it was 5 minutes ago, you've missed a blatant sin binning, and he's got to go. And that should have been a penalty to the Tigers. Who knows? I'm not saying that the Tigers would have won, but 6-0 up with a bit of momentum. This is the 12th minute of the game, so. A couple of weeks ago when Penrith were on the end of it with a knock-on from Manly, they ran 90 metres. We're sick of seeing it. We're seeing it too often. Every Monday morning, there's a blatant robbery from one side to the other. And I know now why coaches in press conferences are getting jack of it, Anthony. I think it's – I don't know what the answer is. Is the answer we use the bunker more? Probably not. But touch judges, what are they there for? We employ touch judges every game. Surely to see if – in the week with young Chevy, what's his name? The young
Chevy Stewart.
Chevy Stewart was offside for that field goal attempt for the Titans. They come out and said we should have been penalised. It's too late.
Yeah,
Titans lost that game, and now they're 0-7. I mean, enough's enough. We don't want you to come out every Monday and be as transparent as you are. Maybe we don't want to hear the truth. I'd rather not hear the truth and say that a team was dud. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, particularly like that case in point there that you've mentioned. Justin Ollum tripped over by the Panthers' defence. I mean,
yep.
At the very least, that's a sin bin.
At the very least. Mm. Professional foul, yes.
Mate, I wanted to ask you this. As a bloke who's been there and done that, and you mentioned this Dolphins-Parramatta game in Darwin, and there was that window where the Dolphins were scoring tries at will, and I can't recall, being a bloke that's only ever sat on the hill and watched the footy, I can't recall seeing a team look more gassed and more cooked, particularly around the play the ball. Their defense around the ruck, Parramatta, was just visibly...
It was diabolical. And I watched the game, and 8-4 Eels were winning at halftime. In fact, they kicked the penalty goal just in the second half to about 10-4 after 45 minutes, and then all of a sudden, 8 tries in 25 minutes, the Dolphins scored at will. It seemed to be that every time they got the ball, they would score. let's first put on the table that it was 32 degrees up in Darwin, and it was around the 90% humidity, but that was for both teams. And then Eels fans were probably listening to this saying, well, they're used to it. Well, not really. It's not Townsville we're talking about. We're talking about a team based out of Brisbane. And no matter what the conditions, you've got to adjust to them, whether it be, you know, I'm sure the Eels hierarchy would have known that it was going to be a 32 degree evening up in Darwin. So you would have accommodated players. And the fact that they were leading at half time makes me think, well, it wasn't really the conditions. It was all about attitude. And that's the defense is about attitude. And what we're witnessing, even if you're sitting on the hill as a spectator, as you say you are, I think even the most ardent Parramatta fan would be sitting on the hill saying, what is going on with our rugby league team? Because the week before we played at home against Combank without Mitchell Moses, and we beat the Cowboys in a great performance, 27-20, after being beat the week before. And now we go up to Darwin and offer up that against a team that basically had six or seven main stars out of their team. You looked at the Dolphins team, you go, you know, they'll be doing well to get within 10 points of this Parramatta team. Hmm. Well, not only did they do well, they won 44-16 in a capitulation not seen in recent times like that one. And it's worrying times if you're a Parra fan. It's a lot of people are questioning whether Brad Arthur has lost the room. Then you hear players like Regan Kimball-Gillard and Clint Gutherson saying that I'd die for this coach. We love him. And I get that. You know, sometimes it just needs a bit of a... I had a bit of drama with Parramatta in the off-season because they didn't really buy anybody. They kind of... I think they bought a centre, Morgan Harper.
Yeah.
From Manly. Mm. And that for me, most teams play really well when they've got pressure. Well, they've got other players in New South Wales Cup breathing down their necks. And case in point is Penrith, who've always got that. Case in point is the Broncos, who've always got these young kids coming through. The Melbourne Storm have started to do that again this season. But at the moment, I don't see many coming through. Parramatta's New South Wales Cup team are coming stone motherless last.
Mm.
So if you're a Parra fan, is it panic stations? I think it is.
Just to close on this, do you wonder from the admin point of view at Parramatta, is it time to wipe their hands of going to Darwin? I mean, if it's no matter how fruitful it is for corporates, I don't know what sort of money they make out of it, but if you're going to lose the game, it's just not worth it.
That's a very good question, and that's one for, I suppose, those that are on a lot more money than I am to decide that, because these days it's all about staying afloat corporately, and I know that most Parramatta sponsors and Parramatta fans would put this in their diary and go, you know what, Darwin, yep, we're dialed in. No one expected that performance from Parramatta. No one expected it after leading 10-4 after 45 minutes. No one expected the capitulation that we're about to see and watch unfold. I think it's good that they keep that game there. I think it's good that Penrith play at Bathurst once a year. I think it's Penrith are now dedicated a couple of games while their stadium gets rejuvenated to go to Mudgee in 25 and 26. I think it's fantastic for these areas to see that the big boys come to town. I was involved in the very first game that went to Darwin in 1991 when we played the Tigers. And I remember it being such a fantastic opportunity to get away from Sydney and getting up to spread the word. And yes, it was even back in 91, the humidity was the first thing. You jump off the plane and go, oh my goodness, how are we going to play tonight in this? Well, we did. But no, as I said, no one could have forecast what we saw from Parramatta, and that's the most worrying sign about it, because on paper, they're a very strong team up against the Dolphins, but they didn't deliver. And I think it's time, I really think it's time that Gutherson's moved to number six. I've said it on this podcast many times. Young Talagi, I think, could play fullback, or you could get a young kid, Simonson, fullback. I just think that Gutho has got to get his hands on the ball in a more creative way. I think he could be like a kind of Cameron Munster type player with the ball, because he's a big body. You know, he's always conniving. He's always trying to fabricate something out of nothing. At the moment, they just look devoid of any type of attack whatsoever, and that's a worrying thing. When you're going to score 16 points against an understrength team like the Dolphins, taking nothing away from the Dolphins' defense and their attitude towards defense, but that's, again, I'll finish this sentence by saying, It's a worrying time if you're a Parra fan.
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, everybody's talking about Kalyn Ponga and his effect on Origin with this foot injury. But look, if you're a Newcastle Knights fan, MG, you're saying, you know, bugger bloody Origin, he's not going to play for the Knights again till round 20. Do you think that's them done for the season?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It'd take a miracle, put it that way. And miracles do happen if you're a Newcastle fan or player, because I remember about this time last year, I think that Adam O'Brien was in a very similar situation to Demetrio. He was basically given his papers, given he signed the document to say, okay, where's the lethal injection? Or I'm about to go. but miraculously, somehow, they won 11 in a row, mind you, on the back of Kalen Ponga's attack, and he kind of lifted everybody. When you lose a player like him, I think they win 32% of their games when Kalen's not playing, or 38% of games. They've won 14 of 37 without him since he's joined the Newcastle Knights. So it's kind of that Tommy Turbo stat from two or three years ago, when Tommy plays, Manly win. When Tommy doesn't play, Manly lose. Well, that's kind of changed a bit over the years when they've got blokes like Kohler in, and Ruben Garrick's now an attacking weapon. And so things have changed. You've got Jason Saab on the wing. But with the Newcastle Knights, I don't see where it's coming from. I don't see where the creative juices are coming from. They've used these three halfbacks that they've got in Hastings and Cogger and the other in Gamble, and they just can't seem to work out who they want in the six and seven, which is kind of mirrors their performances on the field. They don't know what they're doing or where they're doing it. And with Kalen Ponga out, their best player, and look, it was visible to see, Anthony, that when he ran out in the field on Sunday, he had a hip flexor injury. And I'm not saying that that's why he hurt his foot and now has that Liz Frank injury, but when you're favouring something in a game, when you favour a little injury, well, it wasn't a little injury because he was limping out, and so it's very painful. When you favour something, your mechanisms, your gait when you're running, it all changes because you're trying to favour something. So, look, if he didn't play, obviously that this Liz Frank injury doesn't happen. But I know that the rationale behind the Newcastle Knights hierarchy would have been, we need Kalen Ponga because we need these 2 points against the Bulldogs. Our last season, we won 11 in a row. Most of them were on a Sunday afternoon. So conditions are in our favour. All we need is Kalen to get through the game unscathed and we'll be right. Well, guess what? He didn't. And it was interesting to see before the game that Matt Russell spoke to Kalen Ponga in an interview. And Kalen offered up the wisdom then. He said, if I get through to halftime, I'll be very happy. And then they crossed to later on in the panel, they spoke to Adam O'Brien. He said, no, he'll be fine. He's going to be sweet for the whole game. So somewhere there's mixed messages going on. And now that Newcastle without their number one player, there's no way in the world that they can make the eight without him. And there's definitely no way they can make the top four.
Interesting day in the Shire yesterday, MG, with firstly, the first thing that we got wind of that was that Dale Finucane had to immediately retire on medical conditions after 251 games. So he's been a real warhorse and a really successful member of a lot of great teams. So it was sad to see him go.
Well, it came from nowhere, didn't it, mate? Like I was with you, I don't know what I was doing. I was probably walking the dogs, and all of a sudden I got a prompt on my watch that says that breaking news, Origin star and grand final star, didn't say his name because that's the clickbait.
Yeah.
Set to retire immediately. So I jumped into my phone, had a look, and it was Dale Finucane, and it was the last person I thought of, to be honest. But when you find out the rationale behind it, it kind of makes sense. You know, he's had a few head knocks. He's out at the moment with a fracture to the face. He's 32 years of age. You know, you've got a long life ahead of you. He's done everything in the game there is. He's won competitions. He's played Origin. He's hit the as you just mentioned. He's hit the 250 game mark. It's one of them things that kind of just dawns upon you that you've got to say, okay, well, now's enough. And he will be responsible, and kind of Nicho Hynes to a lesser degree. But as soon as they arrived in the Shire, things started to go north. And it wasn't just what they were doing on the field. It was more for what Dale Finucane offers off the field. He's, by all accounts, when he trains like he's in a game. When he goes to training, he trains like he's in a game. He prepares like he's in a game. And it reminded me so much. He reminds me so much of when Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer came to Penrith in the late 80s. And we were kind of this young team that were kind of in, you know, just doing our thing, getting by on natural ability. But all of a sudden, we kind of realized that we could be a better team if we'd done things a lot different. And i.e. watching these guys prepare for training, Now, Peter Kelly would he'd bring two or three pairs of boots. Chris Mortimer would bring two or three pairs of boots. They'd always bring a change of clothing to go after training to have a beer at a pub. The culture changed almost overnight as soon as Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer came to the Panthers, because we changed with them. Because we watched them winning comps for the Bulldogs and thinking, well, if they're doing that winning comps, let's start doing what they're doing. And yeah. I think the same thing happened to the Sharkies with Dale Finucane and Nicho Hynes. They started to watch Dale Finucane training and preparing. And so he's a big, big tick of approval for why the Sharkies at the moment are sitting atop of the ladder, because the culture off the field is 10 times more important than the product on the field. And if you can get things right off the field in harmony with your fellow teammates, because it's a hard act to juggle these days, well, you're halfway there to winning a competition. And I think the Sharkies are halfway there to winning this competition. They're the smoky for mine. I know they sit atop, and their draw hasn't been what you'd say hard, inverted commas, but you've still got to beat who's in front of you. Mm. And the Sharkies have been doing that. And they've been guilty in years gone by of not being able to beat teams in the top eight. It'd be interesting the next 5 or 6 weeks to see who they play and how they go against them teams in the top eight, because then we'll know if the Sharks are the real deal. But on Dale Finucane, well done, brother, on a fantastic career. He looked like he was kind of almost done and dusted. Then he went to Melbourne. And like Melbourne do, they sprinkle that magic dust, and all of a sudden Dale Finucane came away as a State of Origin player. He came away as a grand final winner. He went to the Sharks, and he sprinkled that dust on the Sharks, and look what we've got now. Yeah. Another team benefiting from a culture that is set in stone off the field.
But you know what? You say all that, MG, but then following the news of Dale Finucane, we hear that Braden Trindle's been stood down for the short term.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's a conundrum. That's almost like me being very hypocritical of the Sharkies by saying that, because then all in the same breath, and we've got to admit that all of a sudden this culture that I'm talking about gets kind of blown up in one foul swoop by a kid who makes a wrong decision on a Monday morning, probably on his way to training or wherever he was on his way to, the recovery session or something. But with all the good that they're doing, these guys like Finucane and Hynes, they take two steps forward and three steps backwards when you hear an announcement like that, because what this does with the announcement like Trindle, and he's got his day in court. We won't say too much about it because his day will come in court and he'll be able to, there's two sides to every story. But that stays in the dressing room because that's what you talk about for a couple of weeks. You know, I don't know if his nickname is Tricky, but what about Tricky? You know, he went DUI, he's had this looming over his head, and all of a sudden the focus stays off the game ahead because you're focusing on an off-field misdemeanor that you shouldn't be focusing on. That's the last thing you would have thought that they'd be focusing on after Finucane's retirement. They reach the top of the table, and all of a sudden they're dealt with this blow. So Fitzgibbon's a pretty cool cat, I think, as a coach. I think he's one of the blokes in the competition that if I'm a young kid coming into the grade, I'd like him to be my coach because I think he gets it. He's been around the traps. I'm sure he'll walk Braden Trindle through this mess, and I'm sure they'll get through it the other side unscathed. But in the short term, well done to Finucane, and he's been an ornament to the game. We all want to stand and applaud another gladiator who's leaving the game, unfortunately, because of continued head knocks. It won't be the last.
Yeah, some big games this weekend too, obviously, Anzac Day. These Anzac Day games kick us off. Now, obviously, in the last year, we've seen Go Media Stadium in Auckland. We've seen it come to life as one of the real great venues to watch rugby league. And for Anzac Day, they're going to host the biggest contingent of New Zealand Defence Force personnel all under the one roof or all in the one arena. This is going to be absolutely massive day to commemorate Anzac Day. But they're up against the Titans, the Warriors, and the Titans haven't won a game. And I think more than half the problem is MG, they just leaked too many points.
Yeah. Well, they've lost six in a row. They sit at the bottom of the table. Look, last week against Manly, they were gallant. But gallantry doesn't win you games, unfortunately. And the Warriors, on the other hand, were on the back of a shellacking against the Dragons in the Gong. So if I'm one team in the competition, if I don't want to be one team this weekend in the competition, guess who it is? It's the Titans.
Yeah.
Because they're travelling over to New Zealand, in front of what you just said, which will be so emotional. The Warriors can't lose this game. The Warriors could put a big score on the Titans, unfortunately for Desi and his troops, because they'll be smarting after that, and I think they will. I think this is going to be one of them games where The Titans will be lucky to stay within 14 to 16 points of the Warriors.
The Dragons have been good this year, MG.
Wow.
They've won four games from seven starts, and they would have they'd have taken that all day long, and they've got a couple of big scalps too. They've got the Warriors. They got Manly. Both those games, I believe, they won in Wollongong. So that's a bit of a fortress for them.
Yes.
I wonder, though, this being such an occasion, this is always a great game. Can they match it with the Roosters?
Well, 6 weeks ago, I would have said no way, no bloody way. There's no way in God's earth that they're even going to get close to the Roosters on Anzac Day. But now, when you look at both these teams and where they're sitting on the ladder, the Roosters are 11th. The Dragons are 9th. The Dragons, 30-12 victors over the Warriors last round. And that, as you say, that Wollongong is a fortress. I don't know why they don't play more games there. I don't know why they don't identify more with the Gong, because it's a road trip that no club wants to go to. It's just it's a fantastic little beehive where they just sit there and sting people. You know, it's great. but look, the Roosters, well, they've been hot and cold, haven't they? We keep thinking to ourselves, as soon as the Roosters get their top 13 on the paddock, which they did last weekend, all but Sam Walker, they're going to be hard to beat. Well, Melbourne beat them, and they beat them away from home, which is kind of, I didn't expect that to happen. There's no hotter player in the competition. This is something else I didn't think I'd say 6 weeks ago than Zach Lomax.
Mm.
Zach Lomax is sitting atop the Dally M's on 19 points. His form has been outrageous. The way he's running through and taking bombs from his own kicks or Ben Hunt's kicks has just been outrageous. He's been on fire. He can't get the ball enough. If I'm picking a team of origin tomorrow, state of origin tomorrow, he's on my wing with Brian To'o. He's undeniable at the moment. And for that reason, I can't tip against the Roosters on Anzac Day at home, but I think this is going to be one of them games, Anthony, that we could see a golden point game. And I think it could get down to maybe a Sam Walker field goal or that wins in the end. But I think this is going to be one of them games on an emotional day on Thursday, which is obviously tomorrow, that we're going to see one of them games just that we keep shaking our heads at and go, wow. Because under Shane Flanagan, the Dragons are the form team of the competition.
Yeah, Allianz will be a wonderful occasion. You know, it's just a great day for rugby league. Now, MG, I'm sure you're aware of this stat, but the Melbourne Storm came into the competition in 1998. Since that time, the South Sydney Rabbitohs have never, ever beaten Melbourne in Melbourne.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I know you are red and green more than anybody in this room. I know that you live, bleed it, and you love it. And there are a couple of green shoots coming out of the Rabbitohs den as we speak. You know, obviously the young fullback, and look, they had a bye last weekend, so that's a good win. but they still sit second last on the ladder, and they're coming up against a Melbourne Storm team who on just quietly have been on fire because of Jerome Hughes. Xavier Coates seems to every game do a highlight. Munster's warming himself up for you can see he started the season pretty slowly. He's kind of getting over that groin injury, and he's kind of just testing the waters. And in the second half against the Roosters, he started to show a performance that kind of says to me that I'm feeling sorry for the Rabbitohs already because I think he's in for a massive game, Munster. I can't see the Rabbitohs beating them in Melbourne, but stats are made to be broken, aren't they? You know, I think they'll get, again, very similar to most games this round. I think that if you get close to this team on Anzac Day, which is going to be another emotional night down there tomorrow night in at Amy Park, if you get within, say, two tries or 12 points of Melbourne Storm, I think the Rabbitohs have done well.
Hey, well, you've already discussed Parramatta's efforts in Darwin against the Dolphins and the pressure that the coach is on. But you as a former player, is there any merit in replacing? I'm not suggesting they will do this, but why would you replace a coach like eight rounds in unless you had? I mean, great coaches aren't falling out of the trees.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I don't mind the heat being on coaches, because ultimately, if they're getting full autonomy of who they're picking, well, it's their fault. But also, it's the fault of the players who don't follow the instructions that the coach is giving them. So that makes me think sometimes, well, if I'm playing for a coach that I want to bleed and die for, like these Parramatta players are saying, show me. Show me. Like, if you really want me as coach, you've got to prove it to not just me, but everyone, because your performances are going to be better than what they are. And look, they take on a Manly team at Four Pines who are going to be very dangerous this year, because they've got all their players who are fit. Last week they welcomed back Garrick and Saab, and Tommy Turbo's kind of a bit like Munster. He's easing himself into the competition. But meanwhile, you know, Luke Brooks and Daly Cherry Evans are just playing off the back of these massive forwards. Astonishingly, they're a well drilled team who are playing well. I can't see them getting beaten at Four Pines. Parramatta do welcome a youngster called Ethan Sanders, who will make his debut in the halves alongside Dylan Brown. Mm. So welcome to first grade, young Ethan. I hope you have a fantastic game, young fella. And Mike Acevo returns to the starting role in place of Sean Russell as well. So, and Damien Cook is back for the Rabbitohs, which is a big plus. You know, he'd be smarting about sitting a couple of weeks in reserve grade, and I think he'd be happy to be back in the big game. Look for a big game from him, but in the game against they play the Storm the night before, but I think I'm just reading off a sheet here that I looked at this morning. look, I can't see anything but a Manly victory.
Yeah.
I really can't. I think Manly will win this game. I'm not saying win it well, but I think Manly will win.
And speaking of players coming back, MG, Adam Reynolds comes back for Brisbane. Payne Haas comes back. Yeah. And, gee, this is going to be a task for the Tigers. I know that it's in Campbelltown. And I feel like, just before we move on to the game, you talked about Wollongong being a great home for the Dragons. I feel like the Tigers, too, need that one venue where they play their games. And maybe Campbelltown is that venue.
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. They should put all their eggs in one basket, do what it takes to make Campbelltown their graveyard and make all opposing teams hate going there. Because I used to hate playing Western Suburbs in Campbelltown or Arana Park or wherever, you know, the Campbelltown Stadium. It was just a place you dreaded because you knew you were going to get bashed up. But you're going to walk in the gates, you're going to get started getting bashed up by their supporters. You're going to get started, and then you sit in the dressing room, it was freezing cold, and it was just not a good place to be. And then you go out in the footy field and the team would just bash the shit out of you. I think that the Tigers obviously improved under Benji Marshall. We can all tick off on that. But the Broncos, as you mentioned, welcome back two of the best players in the competition in Payne Haas and Adam Reynolds. I can't see anything but the Broncos winning this one.
The Cowboys now, mate, they were kind of up and down and then they kind of flatlined and they take on this Penrith side with Nathan Cleary back. So now Nathan's back. They're playing their last season with Luai. Now they're playing their last season with the Fish. So, gee, it's going to be a hard task for whoever plays them.
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. And look, saying that, these type of games for Penrith are a bit of a danger game because of the fact that the Cowboys have had two losses in a row. They got beaten by Parramatta and then they got beaten like well and truly last weekend by the Sharkies, 42-6. And Todd Payton won't be happy. And you know, they're back at home for the first time in a couple of weeks. You get to sleep in your own bed, which is a big difference. You train in your own facility. You start to get that mojo back. And this is going to be a lot closer game than I think. I think this is going to be one of them games that could ebb and flow for a while. Then I think the class of Cleary being back. And let's be honest, he hasn't played for 3 weeks or 4 weeks because of the bye. So he's going to have a little bit of, you know, cotton wool around him, so to speak. But I think he'll start to flex his muscles in the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I think Penrith will win like with a score maybe of 24-20 or something like that. I think it's going to be tighter than a lot of people think. But the Cowboys, as you say, they started this season and they're on top of the ladder for a good 3 or 4 weeks, and the last couple of weeks they've just fallen away a bit, and it's time for them to get back. And if Drinkwater plays well at fullback, you know that the Cowboys will keep it on where he is, because a bit like Tedesco at the Roosters, that wherever the fullbacks are for these two teams, that's where all the action goes.
The Dolphins are always good in Brisbane. Yep. And you mentioned it earlier, this game in Darwin, they did Parramatta over without any, every big name player they have is out injured or whatever.
Yep.
So what do you think up there against the Knights without Kalen?
I think I can answer this in one word, and that's Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Dolphins will win this one. I can't see the Knights getting close, to be honest. I'm sorry, Newcastle Knight fans, but the first week you're without your main player is the first week where you start to realise he's not in the dressing rooms getting ready with us. He's not there putting his boots on. And it takes probably a good week or two to get over that. And whoever his replacement is will feel that as well, because, you know, obviously they're not Kalen Ponga. But then, you know, they could get in their groove, the Knights. They could get in the groove, but it won't be this weekend because the Dolphins are at home. I'm not sure about their injury toll and who they welcome back, but it doesn't matter because last week they had six or seven major players out. Their coach didn't travel. Wayne Bennett stayed at home, yet they still showed a resolve that most teams in the competition would love to have.
Yes.
This is a team in their second year of the NRL, yet they're showing more fortitude than a lot of first teams that have been in for over 70, 80 years. So, well done to the Dolphins. I love watching them play. I love, you know, young Katara at halfback is just a freak of nature. And I like watching them play. I think they'll be way too tough for the Knights.
Finally, Raiders, no Jamal Fogarty. Obviously, Sharks, no Braden Trindle. Can the Sharks beat the Raiders in Canberra?
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. I think the way they're playing, yes. Fogarty's a massive out. Fogarty has been one of the unsung heroes of the competition in the opening six or seven rounds, but now he's got a busted bicep, which could put him on the sidelines for a couple of months. Mm. That's bad news because his kicking game has been astute. His passing game has been astute, and all the forwards around him are running off him perfectly. Look, it's up to the young guys now who come into the team, I suppose. So, you had KO Weeks, I think, make his first grade debut for the Raiders, unless mm-hmm. he played earlier in the year. And then we've got the young, you know, the young halves, the other young half and the fullback. And this is the hardest game of the round to pick for me because it's just not a fait accompli. I don't know. If I had to toss a coin, I think with a little bit of that, you know, the Sharkies have had a week of kind of emotion, both good and bad emotion. We had the Finucane yesterday announce his retirement and then the Trindle incident. That kind of plays havoc with the dressing room. And I think they might be a little bit rattled because of both. I'm predicting a bit of an upset here. I think the Raiders might get them.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, MG. And we will, of course, catch you on the Brekkie Show with Mick every morning via Triple M Sydney or via the Listener app.
Yeah, and have a fantastic Anzac Day to everyone who listens to our podcast. It's much appreciated, unless we forget.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.